the devil's advocates. Because freedom!
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition, getting back to work, getting back to sexy right here on the radio with you. We're not taking phone calls today, but we will take your text at the normal number, 844-967-2789. So text or tweets at Devil Radio, although I don't think I have currently in my hands right now access to my own Twitter account. So, you know, don't bother. I'll read them later. Anyways, we keep talking about the January 6th and what happened on January 6th of 2021. I think this was perhaps, I'd like to think, a turning point in the history of our nation. It was the first time we had less than a peaceful transfer of power. And it was the first time I recall, let's just say in my lifetime, where the outgoing president tried to, you know, sort of instill himself forever in sort of a coup d'etat style. That seemed like sort of a new outcome to me. And part of the effort, you know, we talk about the procedural coup d'etat. And what do we call that? The Green Bay sweep. The Green Bay sweep. You know, I hate the fact they use my beloved football team and, you know, sort of tar and feather it with the stank of the Green Bay sweep. In this case, it was the procedural coup d'etat. It was the effort to put up false electors and effectively send it back to state legislators. And, you know, when they get all confused and jumbled, well, hell, the House of Representatives, which is controlled by the Republicans, at least on a state-by-state basis, numerically, well, then they just have to cast their lot with Donald Trump. That was the procedural coup. But the other coup d'etat, the bigger, perhaps more public coup, of course, was the violent insurrection at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. And I mean, the RNC is censuring its own members, Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney, for how dare they, serving on the January 6th committee, seeking to get to the bottom of those who are responsible. And here's what I would say to the January 6th committee. You better start hurrying up. There is some new polling out today, and this is very troubling. The American public, they're sort of losing sight of what this January 6th was all about. You think there'd be more focus on it? I know there has been right here on this super duper tremendous radio program. But elsewhere, you know, the people, they're forgetting. And they're not holding anyone responsible. Here's what the new polling looks like. According to thehill.com, a declining number of Americans say Donald Trump bears primary responsibility for the attack on the Capitol on January 6, 2021. According to new data, Pew Research Center, a trend accompanied by a growing number who say the former president was not at all to blame for the riot. Did you catch all that? Not at all to blame for the riot. The results from Pew show that 43% of respondents view Trump as being primarily responsible. It used to be 52%. It's down to 43%. That was last year when it was 52. Now we're down to 43. It's been a year. You know, my memory gets kind of fuzzy. Who's responsible? Was it us? Was it them? It was probably them. The results from Pew show that 43%, just mentioned that. The decrease in those who put the onus on Trump was a drop seen among both Democrats and Republicans. It's not just one party. The number of Republicans who say Trump bears no responsibility at all grew from 46 to 57% over the last year. Did you catch that? 11% increase up to 57% of Republicans who say that Trump bears no responsibility at all for January 6th. While the share of Democrats who see Trump as having a lot of responsibility for the attack has dropped from 81 to 70%. What Kool-Aid are you drinking, Republicans? You're certainly not listening to the greatest radio show ever. The survey also found the public largely divided over how much attention should be paid to the January 6th attacks and its impacts, with roughly a third of those surveyed responding that too much, too little, and the right amount of attention is being given to reviewing the day. So what is that? The Goldilocks answer Oh, that porridge is too hot. You Democrats on the January 6th committee, you're too hot. Looking for all the answers and issuing all the subpoenas and looking for all the president's documents. I mean, shouldn't he have the right to tear them all up? Doesn't everyone get to destroy all the evidence? And then there's the too cold approach. That would be what? The Kevin McCarthy approach? The Elise Stefanik approach? The RNC approach? How dare you look at what's going on? Well, and then what's the right approach? The American people just keep living their lives. Oh, I got a big move. Kind of busy. Living my life. Life gets in the way. The January 6th committee needs to start dropping public hearings. Remember they promised us these, the public hearings? What are they waiting for precisely?
Word has it, they're still coming. I mean, I get wanting to, you want to hedge that bet. You want to get it as close to the election as possible. You don't want people completely tuning out. You know, you sort of miss your chance. But I feel like we're about to miss that chance.
Well, I don't think you can be too clever by half. I don't think you roll them out in September or October. I think that's way too late. Even those that are interested parties, they're worried about their own re-elections. Democrats and Republicans, they're going to be off campaigning. Now, I heard it speculated earlier today. Well, what's going on currently is a bunch of insurrectionist types. Think Derek Van Orden in the state of Wisconsin. If you haven't been paying attention, a congressman, Ron Kind, a longtime Democrat, sort of a moderate blue dog Dem from La Crosse, Wisconsin, where I went to college. Ron Kind's not seeking re-election. And Ron was a Democrat that won in a district that otherwise was carried by Donald Trump. And it was close and it was tight. And Derek Van Orden was the candidate of alternative, the Republican, in the last election. And Derek Van Orden also happened to use his campaign account to run off to D.C. and participate in the January 6th, the insurrection. Now, as far as I can tell, he has not been criminally charged, although I think he should be. But perhaps no actual criminality. Maybe it was just a casual patriotic observer. But here's the deal. You got lots of people like the Derek Van Orden here in the state of Wisconsin. You got a lot of these Trump-loving January 6th insurrectionist sorts that are running for the Congress, running for the U.S. Senate. They're running right now. And I've heard it speculated, let them go win some primaries. Know what I mean? These sort of insurrectionist sorts. Let them go win the primary with the support of Donald Trump, I suppose. But let them go win. Let them win the spring primaries. Let them be the personification of their party in their respective states. If they can, of course. And then drop the public hearings.
I don't know about that. I mean, I get it to a point, but I feel like that could bite us pretty badly when they're actually holding these positions. And I don't know, they have all kinds of leverage from the party to fight back. I mean, I'd rather keep them out to begin with.
Well, you cannot keep someone out of a private party, Evan. You know what I mean? If some capital insurrectionist wants to go run for Congress from the Republican Party, barring some sort of felonious conviction, unless they're running from jail, you know, I don't know how we would prevent them. Now, I know there has been a movement afoot. Madison Cawthorn, a representative from North Carolina, I know there is, I believe, a 14th Amendment movement afoot that's saying effectively, if you have ever tried to fight against the country you are supposed to serve, and in essence, you could say that this insurrectionist action, this conspiracy, this support of what happened on January 6th, would be a disqualifying event to run for higher office. Well, I know this movement is afoot, and some think it has legs. I'm less convinced. I think we might see an effort of this sort in the state of Wisconsin, but I'm not clear that it's going to be against Derek Van Orden. I think it's far more likely to be against one of the sitting Congress people, be it Tom Tiffany here in the state of Wisconsin. He's kind of new, or Scott Fitzgerald. And Scott Fitzgerald specifically here in the state of Wisconsin, Republican, of course, brand new congressman, was sworn into office on January 3rd, won his first term. We had a guy named Jim Sensenbrenner was here most of my lifetime. But anyways, finally Jim got out of the way and Scott Fitzgerald got his coveted congressional seat. And his first official act, my understanding is he effectively, what'd he do? I forget the term. He wanted to declare that the election that carried him to Congress was invalid. And he wanted to do so, you know, like on his third day on the job. And he did, if I recall correctly, or perhaps the Wisconsin challenge never, you know, came to light in light of the whole January 6th and the delayed certification of the Joe Biden Electoral College count. But if there was going to be an effort of the 14th Amendment sort here in the state of Wisconsin, I hope I'm quoting the right amendment. Of course, the phones aren't there for you to call and correct me, but you could certainly text the correction. 844-967-2789. But if I'm correct in this, and you were looking for someone to push out of office here in the state of Wisconsin, not only did he object to the Electoral College count, he also literally, apparently got the room for the false electors, the fraudulent electors here in the state of Wisconsin. Now, that seems a little conspiratorial. That seems like a little prior knowledge of what was going to happen. And you can say, well, it was procedural, and they got some advice from Wisconsin counsel, or maybe it was Rudy Giuliani, because here in the state of Wisconsin, the false electors went to the state capitol, and the very same day that they cast these fraudulent elector votes for Donald Trump, because of course Joe Biden won the state of Wisconsin, and it was December 14th, and it was high noon, and the governor of Wisconsin and other dim electors were casting the true and actual votes for Joe Biden here in the state of Wisconsin. But at the very same time, these false Republican electors were going into a room provided to them by Scott Fitzgerald, then Senate Majority Leader, newly elected congressman, guy who was going to go and object to the very election he was elected on, the very ballot he was elected on. But of course, his ballot was legitimate. It was just the one that, you know, Joe Biden was elected on in those damn cities like Madison and Milwaukee here in the state of Wisconsin. Although Trump did request recounts in Dane and Milwaukee County and, in fact, you know, didn't find any more votes. And he did have the right to do a statewide recount in the state of Wisconsin. But the very day that he might propose doing so, in fact, the last day was November 18th, and that was the very day that Cheeseborough, the lawyer on behalf of Trump, making the proposition of the Green Bay sweep to Jim Troupas, a former Scott Walker buddy and attorney on behalf of Trump here in the state of Wisconsin. Well, the very same day they would have had to request a statewide recount. You know, if they thought there were actually legitimately more votes for Trump than Joe Biden here in the state of Wisconsin, well, that was the very same day that they were proposing the false elector scheme. The procedural coup that Scott Fitzgerald provided the office space for and conspired and, you know, went down with the willingness to object to the Electoral College count for Joe Biden. So if you're looking for a 14th Amendment target here in the state of Wisconsin, you know, don't just go after Madison Cawthorn in North Carolina, but maybe put some efforts to go after Scott Fitzgerald here in the state of Wisconsin. And those 10 false electors, those 10 fraudulent electors here in the state of Wisconsin, I hope they go to bed each night. And I hope they just have a little angst. You know, I've been stress painting. I hear it's good for the soul. Maybe you, Bob Spindell. Maybe you, Andrew Hitt. Maybe you guys should grab a paintbrush. You know, Mark Twain it up. Tom Sawyer, right? He's the one. Oh, it's great. It's great. It's therapy for the soul. You know, that and push-ups in prison. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. It's a Tuesday, kind of feels like a Monday. Got a fine guest joining me soon, Co-Devlin, all through the 4 o'clock hour. He's Matt Rothschild, he's Batman. Come back with us.
Oh, jolly, I'm hot today.